Yes, I now want to report on our findings when we looked at the landscape of open accessing publishing as it is these days. Salvatore said that the overall goal of the SOAP project was to contrast supply and demand. So our first approach and attempt was to get into a deeper analysis of the current supply of open access journals and analyze the open access publishing business according to several parameters. Our approach was, yes, not very surprising, to start from the directory of open access journals. I mean, this is the highly cited and internationally accepted most authoritative repository or index of open access journals. So we ingested the DOAJ data physically in our own database, which then became the SOAP database, and this was done in July 2009. But that was only the starting point. So we enriched and added to this original DOAJ information by collecting and ingesting additional information. This ingestion was done between September 2009 and January 2010. So we added information from Scopus, from ISIJCR, from ECB, that's the Electronic Journals Library in Germany, also a very comprehensive system for electronic journals. They list also open access journals, from SciMargo. We collected information from asking friends and colleagues, so of course very informed friends and colleagues, not just somebody on the street somewhere. And we focused also on article information. So we wanted to see what is the performance of the journals, how many publications do they publish. And these were the publication figures for 2007 and 2008. This is very important for you to know, as we are now already in 2011, so the SOAP data, of course, gets frozen at a certain point in time. And as many of you were at the APE conference yesterday, you've seen perhaps Mark Patterson's presentation, and he gave figures of the last 2 years in submissions and publications, and there was yet another major increase in the number of publications. So our figures are lower, so the years afterwards, 2009 and 2010, so still have a higher number of publications. So this is really important to remember. And we reached almost complete article information. So we reached this for almost 100% of our journals. So it was 97-98%. So this is not just a random sample, this is complete. Or we claim that it is complete, let's put it this way. And we draw thousands of web pages and took the information and entered it in our SOAP database. So this was really an enormous team effort by all SOAP project partners, and it goes even beyond the list of names that Salvatore presented as the co-authors. Some student workers in the teams, etc., so also helped. So there is still an anonymous army of helping hands in the back that is not mentioned and not part of the regular SOAP team. So, and the key question that we asked and we tried to get answers is like, how many articles, journals, and publishers are out there, in which disciplines, with which license model, where does the money come from, how do they support and finance their business, etc., etc. So, and the slides that I'm going to present here are then our results. And Salvatore mentioned this. This study was done, I think it was in June last year, and put on our, as an extensive and a short paper on our project webpage. So these results have been around, and we've been to several conferences. So some of you may have seen earlier versions, the results are the same, they have not changed, but the beautification and the improvements to the slides, so they are modified along the way a bit. So, how many journals are out there? And we have the fully open access, and in the bottom sections, so we added also a site analysis on the hybrid model. So I talk about the full open access, and this is the distribution that we have, the number of publishers that are out there. So with the total number, though, it's 1,809, and the total number of journals 2,838, with a total of almost 120,000 articles. We have to say this is also important. We had, for the data sample that we took for our analysis, was limited to English language journals only. So we did a deduplication of the original DOHA data samples. There were some duplications in there, so we had 4,000, or we found 4,032 unique data records, and with taking the non-English titles out, so this brought the number down for our sample to the 2,838. And like in the non-OA publishing business, you see a lot of small publishers who have smaller journals, and even if that's kind of the long tail as it is with usage statistics, so with the smaller journals and they all together still publish only about a third of the total number of articles, and then there are 10% of the publishers publish two-thirds of the total. So there's also a leaning towards a large section or a section where we have larger publishing endeavors and a broad base where they are smaller. On the hybrid side, we found that among the major publishers, they offer for 22% of their journals the hybrid model. And of those journals, 2% of the articles turned out to be open access under the hybrid model. So together, we found that about 8 to 10% of all published articles per year are published in the fully or hybrid open access model. And this is congruent with the findings of a recent study by Bo Christa Bjørg, who came to very similar conclusions. As I said, there was a grouping to larger publishing endeavors on the one side and all of the rest. And so for the analysis reasons, so we grouped what we called the 14 large publishers together. And large is defined by either a publishing endeavor which publishes more than 1,000 articles per year or more than 50 journals. And you see the International Union of Crystallography, for instance, has only one journal but with more than 5,000 articles at that time. And Peter Strickland is here and reporting this afternoon. He may also be able to say that in the last 2 years this number has gone up. That would perhaps. So, and also the Biomed Central figures, the Public Library of Science figures were the ones that we had from 2007 or 2008, and the numbers, the current numbers are even higher, in at least in many cases. So these 14 large publishers publish 40,000 articles per year in a bit more than 600 journals, and together this is 30% of the total academic or journal output that we have. Sorry. Now this is a table on the subject area distribution. So we grouped the subject fields that we found in DOHA into some broader subject categories, so that and we had the six that are listed here, And we do our analysis always on the level of how many publishers in the field, how many journals, and how many articles. So I'm not reading you the detailed numbers here. The next slide shows you the same numbers in the subject distribution, but organized now in a pie chart. On the left, you see the journal performance, and on the right, the article performance. So you see that in terms of the number of journals, it's about 2/3 in the STM fields, whereas 1/3 in the social science and humanities field. But when it comes to the article level, the dominance of the STM field becomes even higher. There we have 3/4 of the articles compared to 1/4 in the social sciences and the humanities. And it's also a distinguished mark that the large publishers almost exclusively are active in the STM fields. Oops. Then we also looked at when the journals started over the years. The DOAJ gives you the start date, and so in some cases where it was not complete, we look for the information. And start date does not necessarily mean the foundation of the journal, but also when it's been turned open access or etc. So there's a clear and a stable picture that in the last decade, every year we saw it between 200 and 300 new open access journals emerge. And you see that in the top part you see the large publishers, and in the bottom part the groupings of the others. And you see that with the large publishers, the dynamics seem to have increased in the more recent years, and whereas the other publishers have set in with a higher dynamics at a much earlier stage. I don't know, it clicks always 2 instead of 1, sorry. Okay. Then this is the result of the licensing practices. That's what is interesting to note here, that half of the large publishers use some derivative of a Creative Commons license. So mostly predominantly a CC BY, the attribution license, and 18% the CC BY non-commercial. And this applies to 72% of the journals of the large publishers and 71% of the articles. And whereas in the group of the other publishers, the Creative Commons license is not nearly as prevalent. So there we have not always found license information at all on the web pages, so it wasn't even much more difficult to identify this. So only 21% use some Creative Commons version, and 10% that state that authors retain the copyright, but many still require a transfer of the copyright to the publisher. Sorry, the remote control tries to be a bit smarter than me, so okay. This is now our results on the income sources. We try to determine, or find out how the businesses are being financed and operated. And it's important for you to note when you look at this slide that the columns indicate only the number of incidents, how often this is the case. This is no proportion of real money. That does not mean that the advertisement revenue would be nearly as high as the APC. So this has no expression in real income or in the amount of money. So this is the number of incidents. And there is a clear distinction that the group of the large publishers very much at a much higher level rely on the article processing charges, in addition to other things, and particularly advertising and also membership is important, whereas the other publishers rely more on sponsorship and subscription. We also try to assess the level of academic reputation. So we looked how many of the DOAJ journals in our data sample were listed in other major reference tools, such as the JCR by Thomson Reuters or Scopus, and we found that 11% do have an impact factor, while in Scopus the number of reference journals from the DOAJ is much higher. But we can say that there is no difference between the large and the other publishers in this respect. They are equally likely of being or not being listed in the JCR. So this has nothing to do with the size of the business. But there is a distinct relationship between impact factor and the subject domain. So it is, and this is also perhaps not very surprising, only 19 social science and humanities journals with less than 500 articles per year are listed in JCR. So this territory is not very well covered with an impact factor. And this is a plot now where we looked at the distribution of the impact factor across the journals in selected subject areas. Of course, we have done this for more subject areas. This is for this presentation only a small selection. And we have, let's see what I can. What you see here is that in the biological sciences, there are 2,080 journals listed in the JCR, and out of them, it's 164 open access journals. And the open access journals are the ones here with red, and if it gets the number too low, you won't see the red, but wherever there is a number here, that means that there are open access journals. So that means that even in the top rank, in the biological sciences, earth sciences, and medicine and dentistry, we find open access journals. So we have very high-ranking open access journals in many subject domains, and this is something that Salvatore will elaborate in his presentation a bit later on. And also, perhaps not very surprising, chemistry is one of the fields, at least in the STM arena, where we are not able to find a high impact journal in open access. So there are the ones that exist are in the lower impact factor categories. No, not thank you yet. I have a summary first. So what we found from our analysis is that open access publishing is a mature field, and a field that has similar patterns and also quality indicators as the non-open access publishing. So the distribution between large and small, and the likelihood of having an impact factor or not, etc. So it seems not to be too separated, distinguished from any other non-open access publishing business. So what we've seen and what we have reported, that there is a stronger presence, however, of open access publishing in the STM fields. Large publishers are more likely to rely on article processing charges, whereas sponsorship and subscription is more dominant for the other publishers. The impact factor, both large and smaller publishers are equally likely to have journals with an impact factor. And with the Creative Commons license, the large publishers are more likely to use a Creative Commons version instead of requesting the transfer of the copyright to the publisher. So, and this was what we wanted to report on, what we found about the supply side, and the other presentations and reports will build on this and add to the knowledge base of the SOAP project. So thank you very much for your attention. No, we have analyzed this, and I mean we have created before we decided what to select and not to select, we created also charge and how this would change the field. Of course, I mean this affected the social sciences and the humanities much more heavily. So also when you look at some of the large publishers, even there, the numbers of their journals that were given are only the ones from our data set. So in some, particularly from the non-core countries where with major research, so have then lost lots of their journals. So then the proportion that's been analyzed has been reduced. But it was a long and also difficult and serious debate among the project team. And we found various reasons. First, it was that nowadays, I mean, to have an English title has something to do with higher visibility, higher likelihood of being read and taken into consideration in the international academic discourse. So we found that the English titles would have a tendency to be more serious journals than the other. We know this can be disputed, and we had these discussions. So some was also matter, another aspect was that we would have to go into languages where we won't have the competence. If we could find a web page where we don't even cannot understand the language, it's very difficult to say what licensing policy would they apply here. And we thought that this, if we left them in but would not find the information, that would bring other distortions than to the picture. And so that was a tough, disputed decision at a certain point in the project, but it's irreversible because otherwise we would have to redo everything. No, that's a subscription to the print versions of the journals. So,
actually, my name is Eva Smith, SDM Association, and a very similar question. I thought the idea behind all Nexus was that people no longer need to take a subscription. So, why do people take these subscriptions?
That's what we found. I mean, we were also surprised to see that this is still a viable part of the income revenue. We don't know. I mean, the bar was high. That does not mean that the money is very high that comes via that channel. I'm sure that those subscriptions are not very expensive. I mean, otherwise, I mean, they cannot be sold. And but this is the information that we found, and so many societies or whoever is the publisher, I mean, really explicitly say that they have the subscription revenue still, and this is what we took.
And this question that you mentioned that the
John Haynes from the American Institute of Physics Publishing, just kind of related to that question, right? Did you study how many of those journals offer a print as well as an online version?
But is it changing? As those 200 journals a year get launched, what's the proportion of print?
Mark?
Panayota, would you be able to the number of?
Yeah, I think one of the options you would say the subscription to the print Telegram, to the print version of Telegram as an option of how income coming in. It was actually doing that. We didn't know specifically how many of the operators online did not also offer, but the ones that print version, but the ones that we came across as an income option. Then this will tell you that this map also means that the terminal offers a print version as well.
And just one more question.
Even if it's not with you in publishing, I just wanted to ask a question about one of the slides which I saw at yesterday's conference as well, where it included 8-10% of articles being published in OA or hybrid journals. Does that mean that 8-10% of all articles published are open access articles?
Yes, that's what we wanted to say here. I mean, this is also, I mean, I think there is not a fully confirmed figure, and sometimes you see a higher number, but we have several publishers in the SOAP team. So with our collective knowledge and experience, so we came to the conclusion, but that this is a claim we can make on the basis of what we know about publishing and in general and the findings in the SOAP project.
Okay, I think we have to.